That music never gets old. So Matthew, you were saying? I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. Welcome back to welcome back to the Devil's Advocate. A little bit different crew this segment. We're going to have a little fun coming up here in a minute. Joining us now are Paul Williamson, Carolyn Heck, Jordan Legend, Reggie Rutledge.
Hey, what's
from,
up?
From, yeah, hey, gang. From Media and Communication. Matthew Riley hanging out with us from Politics.
And, politics.
Exactly. From what is it, Government, Political Science?
Just
Holden Hall.
Law school.
He's from Holden Hall. Okay, yeah, so law school.
That sounds so sophisticated.
You know, it's funny that you join us because two of my favorite, and sorry, I'm going to get attacked now from the other side of the glass, two of my previous favorite journalism students, of course, not as good as my current crop of journalism students, but two of my previous favorite journalism students ended up as law students, and they're doing very, very well. One in Virginia, one right here at Texas Tech, but broke my heart that they wouldn't go report. Now, of course, they'll get paid instead, so it works out. But so I get it. So, hey, what's that? Do you guys hear something? What's that sound I hear?
Oh boy, here we go.
Almost as good as AC/DC. That never gets old. I like it. It's time for the lightning round. So we're going to kick some topics around. So I guess, do we want to take sides on this or just come right out of the box at the absurdity of this? Every so often we have a topic on the lightning round that's so ridiculous it's hard to take sides because everybody's on one side. Any idea who had trouble voting in a Texas election just recently?
More like who didn't have trouble voting.
Right.
Okay, so I don't know if you've ever heard of this guy. Anybody heard of Jim Wright? 90-year-old Jim Wright?
He did something in the 90s.
Does that name sound familiar? Yeah, former Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives had difficulty voting because people weren't quite sure who he was. So he no longer has a valid driver's license. You know why? Because he's 90 and he shouldn't be driving. That's why he no longer has a... So he had trouble voting, and he got in there, and it's pretty funny. So he took an expired driver's license and a voter registration card and his TCU faculty ID card to a DPS office to try to get a valid voter ID card, you know, one of those free voter valid ID cards that are no barrier to voting. But that wasn't good enough. They wouldn't give it to him. So I don't know what he needed. Maybe he needed a passport or an affidavit from somebody in D.C.
Maybe he needed to not be a Democrat.
That could be.
I mean, that's possible. I think that this kind of is a real – it highlights an issue with the voter ID law is that if it's hard for the former Speaker of the House to get the ability to vote, then what about a poor minority in the state? Like, if Jim Wright cannot get a voter ID card on the first try, somebody that has two jobs and is poor – goes for the first try to get it, can't get it, they're not going to go back and try again.
Well, and Paul raises a great point. Forget driver's license. What if you don't have a car? I mean, how difficult is it to get over there and do this?
Because poor minorities shouldn't be allowed to vote. Duh.
Jordan's sounding more Republican every day. Hey, welcome to the party, man.
Nice. What a scary party that is.
He and I, before the show, we actually were talking and agreed on like three things in a row. I thought my head was going to explode. It's possible because I've been reading the Communist Manifesto. It's possible that's why.
But thank God I don't believe in religion or I would have thought the world was ending.
Sign of the apocalypse, the American League playing the National League in the regular season. Okay, so Jim Wright, should he have had this much difficulty? What do you think of this voter ID law?
Well, clearly he shouldn't have. I mean, but really, shouldn't
have been allowed to vote?
That too, but clearly he shouldn't have had that much difficulty with this. But I'm wondering whether we're exaggerating this or whether this is truly just a bigger problem than just an individual. Whether this can happen, sort of like what Paul went on, whether this is actually a greater problem with the actual getting registered to vote system.
Well, Carolyn, it hasn't happened to anybody else, has it? Nobody else had any difficulty voting without an ID, did they?
Oh, yeah, actually, Wendy Davis had trouble voting too. She couldn't get her voter ID.
Yeah, and Greg Abbott, I think, also had to vote provisionally.
And they had to sign affidavits swearing that that's who they were.
Which is pretty interesting. Of like the two leading top of their party ticket candidates.
It's so stupid. And we're fighting a problem that doesn't exist. Voter fraud. It's like what, 0.1%. And yet somehow we need to stop all these people from voting. Well, thank you, Republicans. Well, thank you for ruining our lives again, as always.
I guess you can look at it as, I mean, everyone knows who these people are, but if they don't have the right identification, they can't vote. So maybe they're going through the same problems that everyone else is. So I guess you could look at it optimistically that way.
Well, I suppose what slays me is everybody knows where all the voter fraud is. It's in Cook County, Illinois, and in Louisiana, of course. And so... why we would have this law in Texas.
Yeah, but
I just don't understand.
Corruption in Louisiana is coming from the politicians. it's not the voters.
Well said.
I just like to point out how greatly represented student Republicans are in this show right now.
Yeah,
that's what Dr. K's here for.
Well, I'm not a student, but at least I was leaning to the right before I read the Communist Manifesto. But I'm a little more Marxist than usual today.
Better watch out. The YCT will start picketing you.
Exactly. They'll make me pay more for cookies. What was that ridiculous protest?
Oh, the affirmative action bake sale.
Scandalous.
My favorite thing I have ever seen in the history of Texas Tech University.
Jesus, Jordan, calm down, please.
I loved the affirmative action bake sale.
I know. It was a remarkable lapse in judgment.
Yeah.
Well, what they did to illustrate a point, which was certain folks in society, namely African Americans, get more benefits at the expense of other folks in society, namely the young conservatives of Texas. I'm throwing that out as a joke because everybody knows it was like young white fraternity men. But their illustration was they made minorities pay less for cookies and whites had to pay more as an illustration of tax irregularity. I'm like, well, let's equalize opportunities. Let's equalize workplaces in communities all around the country. I mean, it was viscerally offensive and really senseless.
Their entire thing was that this is how affirmative action works. And it's like, no, that's actually not how affirmative action works at all.
Not at all.
If you wanted to have an affirmative action bake sale, you would have to have both people who are wanting to buy a cookie put in an application. And if it just so happened that the African American and the white person had the exact same qualifications, you hired the minority, you sold them the cookie.
Yeah.
But of course, subtle and nuance is lost on the young conservatives of Texas.
and completely lost on them is they're among the elite 28-30% of Americans that go to college. And so their perspective was already lost. And again, I'm an advocate sometimes of their policies, but this is scary. It's the fourth time today I've sided with Jordan, so I'm a little nervous.
It was so funny to me because I went back home after that and I told my friends and family about that and they would not believe it. I was like, yes, that actually happened. I'm not making this up.
I still can't even believe this. Like, when did this happen?
We need to.
Like, why wasn't I even there?
We need to duct tape Reggie's head so it doesn't. Yeah.
I would really love to get a discount on cookies. You don't understand. Like,
and the funny thing is, that's
right.
And that's the most practical conservative capitalist thing to say. So that's perfect, Reggie. That
exactly.
Was great. All right. So let's abandon before we get in more trouble. Let's abandon Jim Wright, who some people may have heard of, having difficulty voting. I'm cracking up. I'm like, this guy was essentially the head of the government, and had trouble voting. But there are other politicians in the news. I thought this was kind of fun. President Obama was a little concerned during the 2012 election and was thinking about making some adjustments to make sure he could beat this onslaught from Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan. Anybody know what that change was that he was considering?
Oh my God.
Hey, stand with Hillary.
No, exactly. Got to do it because Joe Biden will put his foot in his mouth.
But that's why we love Joe Biden.
Greg Abbott, stand up and take a bow. That's Joe Biden. So
that's why we love Joe Biden. He's your drunk uncle. And we all, well, I don't know. I love my drunk uncle. Yeah. I have several drunk uncles.
I think I'm pretty confident Jordan one day is going to be that drunk uncle. So,
well, that would be difficult seeing as how I don't drink. Well, don't drink, people. It's bad for you.
Well, it's the dark side. Vodka, good, young.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, okay, so Paul is already the drunk uncle.
Don't think we can say that on the radio.
Too late now.
Well, it's funny that Jordan's going for the drunk uncle appeal because I believe we also elected a president based on the cool guy you'd like to have a beer with type of president.
That's
you know?
A good point.
Exactly.
Hey, Obama actually had beer with people. With the whole race talk.
Yeah.
He sat down and had a beer.
That's why we should vote for him, folks. He clearly likes his beer. That's all it is.
But which beer? Was it some uppity elitist beer? Or was it like Lone Star?
Yes, it was an East Coast liberal beer.
Stone Light.
I heard something.
Yeah, you see where I'm going with this. Yeah.
I heard something about him like going out and going to the range and like shooting also. Like just like a...
Well, yeah, he made that comment. I believe that as much as Mitt Romney out hunting small rodents, et cetera.
Or Mitt Romney shopping at Costco. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. My driver's been to Costco.
Exactly.
As if
Mitt Romney has ever been within like 30 miles of a supermarket or a big box retailer.
Look, I do my own grocery shopping, but my driver does drop me out front.
Exactly. Don't forget, he's got binders full of women, so he doesn't really need to go.
He has whole binders full of women.
Which of course this all underlines why the president had absolutely nothing to be concerned with. He could have had Grimace from the Ronald McDonald commercials as his VP, and he would have won handedly because Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan are incompetent. So he didn't need to worry. He did not need to worry.
We cannot top that. Let's move on to another topic. So that was pretty epic. I'm really excited about this one because I have my phone in my hand right now, as do, of course, all of the students in the room, because, you know, it's what we do.
Hold it up to the mic so that people can see it.
Okay, so take a look. You can see the clock counting here on my phone. I'm going to hold it up. I did that last week. It's pretty funny there.
I saw it. I totally did.
Yeah, it was hysterical. Jay Carney grinning like the Cheshire Cat, and I held the computer up to the microphone so you could see the picture on your radio. The FAA will now let you keep some electronic devices on below 10,000 feet. So, you know, when that door closes, the cabin door closes, and they order you to turn off your electronic devices, you cannot have your phone on cellular data, but you can do just about everything else. If you have a laptop, if you have your phone on safe mode, if you're using a tablet watching a movie, you can let that stuff ride now. It's not going to affect the flight of the plane. I think that's an interesting ruling. So,
yeah,
let's say way about time. I've been using my phone on takeoff. I'm sure people were
flagrantly violating that rule. Stunned.
Now I don't have to feel bad putting people's lives in danger.
The only change is Reggie doesn't have to feel bad.
There's probably one engineer of the FAA that's probably going, this is the worst thing ever. Yeah. Planes are going to start dropping out of the sky now. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, mildly concerned about that guy's
opinion. I'm pretty
sure. That could count for something, so I don't know. That's a little bit of a worry.
Yeah, I don't think we need to listen to the one global warming isn't real guy at the FAA.
It's bad enough we're already, like, defying God by sending these metal contraptions way up into the sky and expecting them to just, like, stay afloat, I'm pretty sure.
Cigar tube of death.
Plane goes up, plane goes down. You can't explain that.
My dad made a whole career in aviation, and he's always said, aviation has a perfect record. We haven't left one up there yet.
Right? I don't understand why our enemies haven't come up with the idea of just putting cell phones on our Air Force planes and then just calling us whenever we try to attack.
Nice.
And then that would just drop them out of the sky.
I like it. The best way to track any young pilot, he's going to be looking at his phone while he's flying. So
the only problem is now I'll have a reason I can keep my headphones in while the stewardesses are trying to explain the safety features for me. So there goes listening to that.
Right. And your phone is on, so now the government can tap you and spy on you more. You know, so it's just a win-win for the government.
Nice. I was actually talking about this with like one of I think it was Derek, but I was talking about how planes should actually have more. Not jetpacks.
Jetpacks.
That'd be cool if they did, but I mean like parachutes. And I think he was saying to me like, oh, they do have parachutes, just not for everybody though.
Well, so the funnest thing is it'd be fun to have just a couple of parachutes for that guy. You know, the annoying drunk who starts to really get belligerent. Man, eject him. Throw him out.
Well, if y'all want to make fun of me, I'll tell you a really funny story.
I want to make fun of you.
My freshman year, I was flying home to Louisiana, and I get home and I'm talking to my parents about the flight, and I explain to them that even though they explain to me where the inflatable life vest is, I always reach under the seat but I can never find it, and I said that concerns me in case we crash. And then of course my parents reminded me that I'm not flying over water during the duration of the flight between Texas and Louisiana.
Hey, so. You're flying over Louisiana, which is technically underwater, so you should always be in danger.
Yikes.
But until you get there, exactly. I'm thinking over West Texas, that raft is just not going to help unless you've seen the second Indiana Jones movie. So you're on your own. All right. So had some fun with that one. Keep your electronic device on, not cellular data. Last thought on that. George Stephanopoulos, they did a story about this on the network news, and it was hysterical because he's like, wait, people turn off their phones? No one I know does. And I was like, okay, thanks, George. Appreciate that. So football. Were you guys at the game? You know, were you there for the OSU game?
That was a game.
Okay, sorry. We're not gonna go down that road. But did you at least get out there, do some tailgating, root for the Raiders? I mean, you were into it, right? You were enthusiastic.
I was there.
And the Jones is a spectacular facility. You know, seats what upwards of 60,000 people. We've been selling it out. So really nice facility. One of the most elaborate buildings in West Texas. But there's a stadium coming in Katy, Texas, that I think is going to be almost as elegant as AT&T Jones Stadium. In fact, Matthew, you're from Katy, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Do you know anything about this stadium?
I just recently heard about it, but you know, it doesn't surprise me whatsoever. Katy is a football community.
It's a high school football community.
a football community, essentially. And it just does not surprise me at all. I mean, I believe Katy High School is ranked among one of the top high schools in the nation, well, actually. So they're very, very enthused about it. But I
should hope so, because they're new 14,000 seat high school football stadium will cost $69 million.
And it is just incredible, because Katy looks like the suburbs. Well, it is the suburbs of Houston. And it's funny to me that they have such an advanced stadium out in the middle of nowhere, where Katy just looks like you have a stadium that's very nice, and then you have the rest of Katy, essentially, which is hilarious to me.
Ouch. I was going to say, Houston's actually not like that. It's kind of from Katy to Beaumont. And from the Woodlands to Clear Lake, it's just sort of all one developed city. There's no more wilderness.
Katy seems to be remarkable. Yeah, Katy seems to be out of the norm of that.
I don't know. We just recently had, and it's a beautiful facility now, but one of the local high school stadiums here in Lubbock, LASD got some money from a bank and some other, Plains Capital Bank, some other places. It's actually called Plains Capital Bank Field now. $17 million refurbishment of this really elegant, beautiful stadium that seats several thousand people here in Lubbock. I thought that was outrageous. But at least they weren't building a new one, and at least it wasn't $69 million for high school football. That's crazy.
What's really interesting is that the new stadium is going to be smaller than the one they have now. The one they have now holds 15,000. The new one's going to hold 14,000.
Yeah, but they're going to be much nicer seats.
Who are these 15,000 people going to high school football games?
I think these stadiums at the high school level now are having luxury skyboxes for donors and stuff, like in the NBA.
My hometown is 15,000 people. I couldn't imagine the entire city of Thibodeau coming out for a high school football game.
You really can't?
A little worried about what the sport is in Thibodeau, but
football
we won't go there.
Texas, but no one really cares about high school football.
Well, in Texas, they care a lot about high school football.
It's like a religion here.
Yeah, it really is.
It baffles me. I have 15,000 people to watch a high school football game.
Best illustration ever that you're not from Texas. You're from Louisiana.
Clearly.
Okay, so one more. We've been talking about off and on about the Affordable Care Act, the difficulties signing up. There are a lot of folks disgruntled, upset, ticked off, dissatisfied. There are a group of people, speaking of Thibodeau, Louisiana, who are really, really enthusiastic about the Affordable Care Act, about Obamacare. Jordan, you wanna step in this one and tell us who's really excited about it?
Well, in South Louisiana, we call them madams. The rest of the world, they're known as hookers and or sex workers.
Okay, they're very enthusiastic about Obamacare. They had difficulty getting access to health insurance. If they could get access to it, it was difficulty because they often had, shall we say, pre-existing conditions. And the Obamacare Act is a very nice opportunity for them to sidle up to health care. So they're actually really excited about it.
I can already see it in the news now. President Obama on national television is like, all right, folks, we may not be able to get everything, but we can save the adult industry.
Hey, the adult industry brings a lot of money.
I'm not saying it doesn't, but
that's a huge lobbyist for the Democrats, the sex worker party. Like, Democrats need those sex workers in every election.
Exactly. You know how underrated they
are. Plus, they need them to vote also.
Yet when the scandals start, it's always the Republicans, isn't it?
Well, it's because the Republicans are with, you know.
Well, it's because the Republicans pretend to be squeaky clean, and the Democrats have no such illusions.
I'm so glad you just said that.
I think there's something to that sort of open honesty. Look, I'm a congressman in D.C. What'd you expect?
Well done, Dr. K.
Hey, thanks. I appreciate it. You know,
Kelly, you're scaring me. You're kind of coming over to our side.
I'm telling you, man. I kid you not. It's on the desk. The Communist Manifesto is there. Now, wage, labor, and capital. I am not kidding.
He's going to start using words like labor force, bourgeoisie, proletarian, hegemony.
We better
the American Empire.
We better escape from here. So yeah, we're all for sex workers and a lot of other people getting access to Obamacare, and that's a gift that could, dare I say it, spread.
keep on giving.
Exactly.
Keeps on giving.
Exactly. So that may be good for more than just those sex workers. All right, let's do this. Let's take a little break. We're going to come back, and speaking of Obamacare and humor, we're going to have a little fun with that when we come back. But let's take a little break, and we'll catch you in a couple minutes on The Devil's Advocate.
In me.
I should turn my microphone on, and I should turn Reggie's off. I'm just kidding.
What?
Welcome back to the... Because you were mumbling when we came out. Everybody's like, oh, great, now they're picking on Reggie. I'm blaming Karl Marx. Hey, welcome back to the Devil's Advocate on KTXT, The Raider. Again, as always, join the conversation on Twitter/TheRaider881 and also on Facebook, TheRaider881. We'll be happy to entertain your comments. We pretty much ignore them, but we'll be happy to entertain them anyway. It'll be fun. So we were talking about healthcare. And Saturday Night Live had a little fun at Kathleen Sebelius' expense, which was much too easy, on Saturday Night Live. Let's give a listen to this. It's a real fun way to leave you guys with the show this week.
Sebelius, Secretary of Health under President Obama. Now, a lot of folks have been talking about our new healthcare enrollment website, how it's been crashing and freezing and shutting down and stalling and not working and breaking and sucking. Well, tonight, I have a number of friendly tips to help you deal with those technical problems. For example, have you tried restarting your computer? Sometimes it helps to turn the computer off and then turn it back on. We don't know why, it just does. If our website still isn't loading properly, we're probably just overloaded with traffic. Millions of Americans are visiting healthcare.gov, which is great news. Unfortunately, the site was only designed to handle 6 users at a time. And if our site keeps freezing, we've also provided links to other helpful websites, such as kayak.com, where you can purchase airline tickets to Canada and buy cheaper prescription drugs. Or how about BitTorrent, where you can download pirated copies of healthcare-related movies like Patch Adams? We also have links to a number of doctor-themed pornographic websites that should help you pass the time. Sites like Doctors Without Boundaries, Bang Ambulance, WebMDGs, and Blue Cross Blue Balls.
Yikes.
We know where Jordan's going to sign up for his healthcare.
It's funny, though. Crashing, breaking, and sucking. That can also describe Saturday Night Live for the past 15 years.
Oh, ouch. So true. All right. Any other parting shots, comments?
Nope. I had my fun for the week.
All right. Thank you guys all, as usual, for joining us and in the audience. We appreciate it. The Devil's Advocate every Wednesday at 5. We'll see you next week. And again, we appreciate your taking the time to hang out with us.